MSO News, giving voice to the North Shore. This is North Shore Today for Wednesday, December 20, 2023, brought to you by Moynihan Lumber. Moynihan Lumber supporting local news coverage and communities on the North Shore. I'm Rick Moore with a quick look at today's stories. A fire destroys a Peabody multifamily home. Middleton guards save inmates' life. State budget revenues are lagging.
I'm Bill Newell, and later in sports, we'll have a few local North Shore sports updates, and then we'll deal with the hottest topic on sports radio. Rick?
I think I know what that might be. Thanks, Bill. Sunny, low 40s, high tide, Gloucester Harbor, 5:21 p.m. A three-alarm fire tore through a multifamily home in Peabody yesterday morning at 10 Collar Street. Caroline Enos of the Salem News reports that the fire did extensive damage to the structure, and the building may have to be torn down. There were no injuries to the residents. Inmate William Schultz recently had a medical emergency at the Middleton Corrections Facility. According to the Salem News, officers and medical staff performed 29 rounds of CPR to save his life after he suffered cardiac arrest. Schultz was very grateful for the staff's efforts and said, "I really wouldn't be here if I were here in this place and if it wasn't for your efforts." North Shore cities and towns are now starting the budget process for fiscal year 2024. Salem State Representative Manny Cruz recently told MSO News that there are budget revenue concerns in the state at this time.
When we look at some of the revenues that have been collected, it's the first time in a long time that we had four straight months in which the Commonwealth did not meet its kind of baseline with respect to those revenue collections, which shows that the economy might be slowing down a little bit. And so what that means is for our state, for our municipalities, that we're probably going to see a little bit more, fiscal restraint to just ensure that we're living within our means as a state.
The state does have one new revenue stream that is providing new money.
There is the millionaire's tax that was recently passed last year by the voters, and those revenues came in a little bit over what was anticipated, and much of that funding went towards things like universal school meals for families. Some of that funding has been used to create new programs like, as an example, there's a brand new tuition expansion program called Mass Grant Plus, in which students meeting certain income levels are going to be able to attend our institutions of public higher education for free. And it's really exciting to see those new type of investments. But where the challenges lie in education, specifically around the cost of transportation, that continues to, I think, be a budget buster for many of our local school districts.
That's State Representative Manny Cruz of Salem. Gloucester's Sawyer Free Library is looking to raise $7.9 million over the next few years to fund its $29 million renovation project. Ethan Foreman writes in today's Gloucester Times that the narrowing of the fundraising goal has to do with the likelihood the project could win a $3 million federal grant. And 11 cities and towns that make up the Whittier Tech Vocational School District will vote next month on whether or not to commit to financing a new $445 million building. Newburyport Mayor Sean Reardon is among those opposed to the project.
Yeah, so they're a vocational school district. They, around 2016, I think, did a feasibility study that I haven't seen. It's not up on their website or anything, but I know this is what they say. They started this process back in 2016 about looking at building a new school for Whittier. They entered into the MSBA, which is the Mass School Building Authority program, in 2019 and started this process. Now, unfortunately, in all of this, when they started this process to move towards possibly building a new school, because, again, their school is now over 50 years old, they didn't involve any of the 11 communities along for the ride. They do have a school committee that is formed with two members from each city, so Amesbury, Haverhill, and Newburyport are the three cities that feed into Whittier. We have two members on the school committee, and then the other eight towns have one representative each for a total of 14. These people get elected every 3 years. I shouldn't say elected. They get appointed by the local school committees in all the communities. So that's where we're at. So they have this Whittier school committee, and they have gone through this process since 2019. But they didn't bring any of the communities along for the ride. We never got an update, at least in Newburyport, from our representatives that served on the Whittier School Committee. They came for budget presentations because we do allocate funds for our assessment of Whittier each year, I think for Newport, which is around $600,000. So that's kind of where we're at. So then finally, at the end of 2022, Whittier reached out to us and actually brought us together and said, hey, you know, we're moving forward with this, concept design for a new school. They didn't have any numbers yet, but they showed it to us and it was like, oh, wow, that's an ambitious project. And we all kind of walked out. And then a few months later, we get the numbers and all of a sudden it's a $500 million school just about, yeah. Which is just crazy. And to put that in perspective, you just mentioned Essex Tech a little while ago. You know, Essex Tech has a fairly new school. I think they're under 10 years old, if I'm mistaken. I'll have to look that up. But they built their new school, and they actually have more kids that go to their school for $135 million. So, again, $500 million, $450 million plus, because, again, this is just a concept estimate. I mean, this number could go up, too, which is obviously incredibly concerning.
That's Newburyport Mayor Sean Reardon. And also in Newburyport, new library director Kevin Bork, who has been on the job for just about a month, is working on rebuilding the library's volunteer program. Jim Sullivan writes in the Daily News that there was controversy with the program when earlier this year there were complaints about volunteers from union employees at the library. The volunteer program was then halted by the city. Sports next with Bill Newell.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Yes, we are a full-service lumber yard, but we also offer doors and windows and kitchen cabinets. Please visit us in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
MSO News Sports. News updates throughout the day. Great local sports coverage. Giving voice to North Shore newsmakers.
This is MSO Sports bringing voice to the North Shore. The Bruins lost to the Wild last night at the Garden, 4-3 in overtime. The Bruins lost a third period lead. Coach Jim Montgomery on letting the lead get away in period three.
You know, it's happening all over the league. I watched it happen twice last night sitting on my couch. But it's my concern and our concern is about our team. I don't like the plays to the slot that we're giving up, and I don't like the rebound chances that we're giving up, right? Like, it's areas we got to clean up. But I do like the way we responded. I liked our compete level, our execution. Offensively and defensively needs to get better.
The Bruins play at Winnipeg on Friday night. The Celtics lost to the Warriors out on the West Coast last night, 132-128 in overtime. Tonight, they're right back at it against the Kings. The Patriots play next in Denver on Christmas Eve, kickoff at 8:15. Boys basketball from last night, Salem topped Gloucester 64-30. Marblehead over Salem Academy 68-44. Ryan Kamas with 16 points for the Magicians. Swampscott improved to 3-0 with a 73-62 win over Bishop Fenwick, and the Prep beat St. Mary's 78-60. Girls basketball, Peabody moves to 3-0 with a 62-29 win over Waltham. Marblehead handed Danvers their first loss of the season with a 46-32 decision. The number one topic this week on sports radio is, should the Patriots fire coach Bill Belichick, or should he stay? This week on the Salem News Sports Writers Podcast, I put that question to our team. Here is Phil Stacey of the Salem News.
I'm not convinced he's gone, to be honest with you. And while he certainly doesn't seem to have adjusted to life without Tom Brady very well, and he's made some very questionable coaching decisions and personnel decisions, I do think, and call me crazy, I think that you got to think long and hard before replacing somebody with all the terrible coaches that are out there. I mean, franchises are littered with them. Do you really want to give up the arguably greatest coach of all time for, I don't know, whoever? I'm just not sold it's a done deal.
I'm with you, and I think that he should be back. I'd hate to see him go to another team and kick our butts next year, you know, with a different team. Again, like Phil said, what's our option if we don't have Belichick? We're going to go find one of these other guys and start rotating coaches every couple of years. Like, just don't think that's the answer. You can blame it on Belichick as much as you want, but this team's just not very good. We just don't have a lot of talent. So I think there's going to have to be some moves with the coaching staff and obviously with personnel, but I don't think firing Belichick, letting go of Belichick is the right move.
Phil Stacey, and then at the end, Nick Giannino of the Salem News, and then there is Matt Williams of the Salem News sports team. He has a totally different point of view.
Yeah, Matt? I'm done. I'm done with them. See you later. Like, oh, they don't have much talent. This isn't a high school team where it's like you get whoever's born in the city. It's his job to get the talent, right? So see you later. I mean, it's enough. I've had it with the whole thing, the act, the press conferences. I'm just ready for something new. I don't want to watch it anymore. It's run its course. You know, if he does well somewhere else, I mean, you know, Andy Reid's doing pretty well somewhere else, and nobody would say Philadelphia shouldn't have fired him at the end because that was a dumpster fire too. You know, it's just, it's time. And hey, if they have the greatest owner in the world and just ask him, then he won't hire a bozo. He'll hire one of the other good ones, right? So that's what we're supposed to have faith in now. And as far as everybody pushing back and saying, oh, it's not true, it's not true. I mean, hey, I've seen this show before too. We heard all the reports of how unhappy Brady was. They put out their three-way statement about how they loved each other and they're committed to each other and blah, blah, blah. And 2 months later, he was out the door too. So they got a little bit of a history of denying things that are going to happen, and then those things happening anyway, right? So I'm not taking the cheese on this again twice. I mean, this is a historically bad team. Historically bad teams get their coaches fired. I mean, and I can't think of many examples of teams that are this bad rebounding and being good later with the same coach. I mean, that's pretty unusual. So
Matt Williams of the Salem News. This is North Shore Today, giving voice to the North Shore, the area's only daily news and sports podcast. Along with Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell. Have a great Wednesday, everybody, and be sure to keep listening for North Shore Today Extra. A unique holiday gift.
If you're tired of giving gifts that nobody wants or uses, think about giving something they actually need and use, like a soap bar. This is a brand new soap bar by the company Exo Bath. It's not just like any soap bar, it has a unique twist. It has a space carved into the top of it that then you can take an old soap sliver and put it right inside to reuse it. If you know somebody that uses soap bars, think about giving them this bar as a gift. It's available for purchase on xobath.com. And right now you can even get your first purchase 20% off with the code HELLOXO.
Click on the banner at the top of our website. This is MSO News Sports, and we are joined by Daily Item of Lynn sports editor Joey Barrett. And Joey, welcome. Thanks so much for joining us.
Great to be here, Bill. Good morning.
All right, so here we are talking after you guys have completed your fall sports all-star selections. They had a pullout section in the item last week, I believe it was, and at presentations and so on. So, Joey, just give our listeners a bit of the highlights. This is for all sports, all fall high school sports. So what are some of the highlights from the all-stars from the item this year?
Absolutely. So last Wednesday we had an insert packet with all of the all-stars across all eight fall sports with coaches of the year, but we saved players of the year and a few different surprises for the all-star ceremony in Lynn that Thursday. I was at the Lynn Museum, and the big highlight of the night was the first ever Buzzy Barton Award, which the consummate team player. So we had two of his good friends, former Item sports and news editor Paul Halloran and former firefighter Muna Mullins, kind of say some nice things about Buzzy. And then the consummate team player Buzzy Award went to Victoria Quagrello of Swampscott. Just her coach, soccer coach, Jamie Caponegro, had such good things to say. She was leading her team, scoring big goals, but also doing things off the field, encouraging her teammates. So she got the award. And and players of the year were announced as well. So, you know, Brian Vaughn got football. Dylan Riley got boys soccer all the way down the line. And it was very nice. Jared Nicholson, the mayor of Lynn, kicked things off, and Mark spoke, and I spoke, and it was a good time.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the Buzzy Barton Award, great idea, great concept coming up with that ultimate team player. And so there you go. And a nice selection, Brian Vaughn, who Jr., who is the Greater Boston League MVP, quarterback for Lynn Classical. And, of course, he overcame those that serious knee injury and so on that he incurred a couple of years ago. And it's remarkable that he's even playing to this, you know, today, to be quite honest with you. But a great story, and congrats to him. So nice award there.
Absolutely. He's a great player. And like you mentioned, he's gone through a lot of adversity with that knee injury a few Thanksgivings ago. He's since played in two Thanksgiving games and played well both times. So the GBL MVP and now the Item Player of the Year.
Yeah, and I know I saw John Naske's name in there, one of his key receivers, if not the key receiver for him this season. And what a tandem those two were this season in throwing and catching for Classical High School. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, 6 wins, I believe, for Classical, right? So definitely wouldn't have been up there without those two. And I would put that quarterback-receiver duo up there in the best in the state. I really would. So, yeah, a good year for Classical, and I think it paid off last Thursday.
I know Mark Betancourt picked up your Coach of the Year for football out of Peabody High School. Any other notes on the Coaches of the Year or any selections that you want to share with us on that? That's always an interesting part of these All-Stars.
Absolutely. One that stuck out to me, which was great, was Brett Malaya, Lynn English Golf. He had a very young team. I mean, I think his three best players were a junior, but then 2 8th graders. So the fact that they were kind of able to get, I believe, an 8-2 record, and they made the tournament. So the future is very bright at Lynn English. And I thought just how you can get that young group to really buy in, to just helping each other out and performing game by game, day by day. That one really stuck out to me, Bill. Yeah.
All right. Well, here we are. We're now right into the winter season right away as well. And I know that you've seen a handful of teams so far this winter. And one of them, I guess, was Swampscott Hockey. And those guys are off to a very good start this year. So congrats to them.
Yeah, they've got that three-headed monster. But something I like about Swampscott is they're not just doing it, you know, one player. You see that with teams, sometimes in hockey especially, just because you have the ability to skate down and dangle your way down the ice and on a great individual effort. But Swampscott, they play team hockey. They're fast, but they're patient, and you can get beaten by the Big Blue in a few different ways. So I like watching Swampscott, and I've also seen a couple other teams. I don't want to ramble if we don't want to talk about them, but yeah, there's some good hockey teams.
No, we don't want to talk about them, Joey. No, go ahead. What are you talking about? Let's talk about them. Well, sure.
Yeah, I guess that's why we're here.
that's why we went to all this trouble to get you, Joey. Come on.
I got to say, St. Mary's girls hockey team is looking good, 3-0. They've got great goaltending, and I tell you, they have a freshman, Bella Freitas, and she scored a hat trick the first game, and I think she had 2 last Saturday. So not a bad start. And then the Peabody boys basketball teams really impressed me. Anthony Forte scored 31 points Friday night. I mean, that's no easy feat to do in high school at any level, but, you know, especially high school where, you know, the games are a little shorter and usage rates are a little down. But Anthony Forte has really impressed me, and he got the item athlete of the week for scoring. I think in 3 games in a row it was 20-something points, then 31, then 17 yesterday against Class City rival Fenwick. So, yeah, I talked.
No, that's great. And the 31 points came against Beverly. Now, Beverly, you know, they know Anthony Forte, and I'm sure we're trying to defend him, and they play some pretty good defense over in Beverly. And I know it's not the same Beverly team that's been there the last couple of years, but still a very competitive team, I understand, this winter. But, yeah, so great achievement for Anthony Forte. And I did note, and you were noted as well, that he was your item player of the week this past week. So great honor for him. And as you mentioned, they're off to a fantastic start. Well, Joey, anything else? How about these Patriots? What's your take on the Patriots? What do you take out of yesterday's game, and what's the future?
Well, it's not Sunday. I didn't think I had to talk about the Patriots on a Monday with how miserable they've been playing. But, you know, it's one of those things where I kind of try to put things into perspective, and I don't want to say that, you know, I'm Team Belichick. I really am. I'm grateful for everything he's given us, and I'd like to see him stay, but if he doesn't, I hope it's on his own terms and or a smooth transition out with no bad blood. But, you know, they just don't have it. They don't have a strong, reliable quarterback, and that's the most important position, in football, maybe in sports. So you need that, and there's no foundation. There's no guy that you can rely on because the defense has been fine. I know 27 points against Kansas City's not great, but the defense has been actually very good the last 4 or 5 weeks. But the offense, when you don't have a reliable playmaker, it's hard. It's hard.
Well, I'll tell you, if you had the old Tom Brady Patriot teams and you gave up 27, you wouldn't care because you would have scored 35. You know what I'm saying? That's what those scores looked like, right, back then. And so, You're right. Giving up 27, and when your offense isn't holding the ball for all that long, isn't the worst thing in the world. You're right about the defense. I have mixed feelings. I think it's easy to criticize. It's so easy to criticize, and that's what's going on right now with the Belichick thing. But on the other hand, I just do think they've kind of messed up the whole quarterbacking situation, and they don't have a lot of talent. And I don't know whose fault that is, but whatever. Who knows?
That's a great point you mentioned about, back in the Brady, Gronk, Edelman days, if you let up 20-something points, you were going to win the game. And it was almost a disappointment when you didn't score on a drive. And now it's like, we scored. Wow, great. That doesn't happen often. So, yeah, it's very different. But like you said, hopefully things can – it's easy to say it's a disappointment because we're 3-11, 3-12. But I think it's more complex than that, and hopefully Bill can stay. I'd like to see him stay, but I'm biased. What can I say?
No, I get it. But, it's funny. That very first kickoff was so typical of what's happened to this team. The Patriots get it, have a nice return, but there's a holding call, and it all comes back, and that's it. That's kind of the microcosm, if you will, of the game and how things have gone for the Patriots here in 2023. All right, Joe, anything else you want to share with us from the sports department of the Daily Item?
No, just tune in, itemlive.com and the paper every day but Sunday. We've got myself, Mark Aboyan, Anne-Marie Tobin, articles on the Daily. And just a special shout-out to Joe Casey, who was our Item Sports intern, and his last day was Friday. It was funny, we went out to dinner, and then he covered a game Friday night because he wanted to. So thank you to him, and he's written a lot of great stories. So, it was great having him, and if he's listening, thank you.
Yeah, great. Great guy. And it must have been a great dinner, Joey. You to get him to go out and do a game right afterwards, unbelievable. Yeah.
I know. I was writing the roundup, so I was kind of just at the office, low-key writing the roundup. He wanted to go to that Swampscott game, Swampscott basketball.
Oh, yeah. There's another team, that's doing some nice things. All right. Well, Joey, we'll let you go. But, again, thanks for joining us and sharing with us. And again, that All-Star pullout section from the Item was in last Wednesday's edition. And, of course, you can always go to it at itemlive.com. So, Joey, thanks so much for joining us again. Yep.
Oh, anytime, Bill. Thank you.
Joey Barrett, sports editor, Daily Item of Lynn, here on MSO, newsports.com.